Let's pray. Lord, this morning we do come and adore you. We bow our hearts, bow our heads, bow our lives before you, acknowledging that you and you alone are King. Father, we just don't see the babe in the manger. We see the risen Lord seated on the right hand of God the Father, the one who's coming soon for us, the one who's coming to rule and reign and set up his kingdom. We thank you for that. We look forward to that. We pray that the direction of our lives and the things that we do and the decisions we make would all be geared towards recognizing that fact. And Lord, and then doing the things that needed to be done or that you're calling us to do as Christians. We pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, that they would adore you, that they would fall down before you deep in their heart and just acknowledge you for who you are, the Lord and the King, the Savior, the one who made a way for us to enter into heaven spotless and perfect because of what you've done for us, the blood that you shed, the sacrifice that you made, the grace that's been poured out on us. And we thank you for it. We bring every need, every burden, every problem, every situation this morning into your mighty presence. We believe that you're more than able to do what is necessary in those situations. We also ask for grace. Sometimes there's times you just want us to trust in you and rely upon you. And there are no pat answers to things. We're just called to trust in you because you know and understand all of it. So may you be glorified. May hearts be drawn to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Galatians, the fourth chapter. Let me again welcome you here. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are doing a journey through the book of Galatians. You say, what about a Christmas message? Well, every message in the Bible is a Christmas message, really. It's about God's grace. Incidentally, this morning we do not have the outline up on the thing because I had to disconnect the pulpit. There's a wire under here that allows me to control the slides, just to let you know. But this morning we're going to look at chapter 4 of the book of Galatians, verses 12 through 18. If you do not have a Bible and would like to follow along, if you hold your hand up until the usher gets to you, we'll make sure you have a Bible if you can follow us. Again, Galatians, the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 18. This is actually the seventh argument. Paul is arguing or defending grace versus law or legalism. And ultimately what grace is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The Bible talks about God will give grace to the humble. Which simply means if we humble ourselves, acknowledging that we can't do this, that we do not have the ability to do this, that we cannot save ourselves, we cannot remove one of our sins, much less all of them, and we depend upon God to do that through the Christ, then he'll give grace to us. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud, which simply means the individual who doesn't come before the Lord and humble themselves and ask God to help, that's proud and arrogant, God's going to resist that. God's going to hinder that. So it's very important that you humble yourselves, that I humble myself before God in order to receive God's grace. We're saved by the grace of God, which simply means God has worked because of Christ in us, to us. God has transformed us because we've humbled ourselves, come to him, put our faith and trust and hope in Christ alone. And when we do that, God works. God saves us. God redeems us. God transforms us into new creations. But it's all grace, meaning simply God does it all. We just come and believe in him. We turn from our sin and believe in him. But the individual that believes somehow that their religious actions or they're good enough to get to heaven or their own works or whatever it may be, we in that little play they talked about the Tower of Babel, you're trying to get to heaven by yourself or whatever it may be. Some people rely upon statements like, I'm good enough to get to heaven, or I'm doing the best I can, or I can't believe that God would send me to hell, or people just discount even the possibility that there is a hell, which the Bible clearly says there is, only because they're hoping that somehow or another they can get to heaven. And that's simply because of pride. We need to humble ourselves and acknowledge that Christ and Christ alone is the way to get to heaven. And God does that and saves us because of his divine grace. We are enabled by the grace of God to follow Jesus. We have a lot of pressure on us this Christmas season to get our eyes off the Lord, to get caught up in all this stuff going on. And it's God's grace, God's supernatural infusion of his spirit that enables us to keep our eyes on Jesus and to go through the season following the Lord and remembering what it's all about. It's God's grace. Or if we follow the Lord for a long time, believed in Christ and through our lives, it's God's grace that has kept us. It's God's grace that has held us. It's God's grace that has enabled us to believe on the Lord and to be faithful and to keep our eye on Jesus. God's grace does all that. And what Paul's doing in the book of Galatians, the believers that had come to Christ through his ministry were turning away from relying upon the grace of God to their own religious actions. He talks about the law, going back to the Old Testament laws, but we've likened that to anything that anybody does that somehow they believe can save themselves, or to any kind of religious work, or to think that I'm good enough to get to heaven, or, you know, I attend church, or I read my Bible, or I believe in God. None of that's going to get us to heaven. The only thing that gets us to heaven is the grace of God in the person of Christ, putting our faith in Jesus. It's a relationship. It's a personal relationship that an individual has coming before Christ, trusting in him, believing on him, asking him to save us. That's how we're saved, not by any religious works. Now, we do serve the Lord. We do religious things like read our Bibles or pray, but it's not in order to be saved. It's because we're saved. We gather here this morning because we're saved. So what Paul is doing, he's defending grace. He's showing how grace and grace alone is what saves us, not works that we've done, or not religious actions, or not the law, or not, in our study here, not being circumcised. There were certain individuals coming behind Paul and saying you have to be circumcised to be a real Christian. And that was simply false. And so Paul's defending that. So in this seventh argument that Paul's going to bring out, it's the argument of love. And just to sort of sum it up, grace somehow affects my life and transforms my life that I'm able to love people the way Jesus loves people. And the reason we love people the way Jesus loves people is because of God's grace. Legalism, on the other hand, tends to cause us to judge others, to look down upon others, to measure others by our own standards or by our own rules or by our own, whatever it may be we're doing. It builds up pride. It causes separation and all these kinds of attitudes. That's legalism, or that's a judgmental attitude, where grace enables me to love people. And so it's the argument of love. Paul is basically saying to the Galatian believers, how did the grace of God affect you when you came to Christ? It filled you with a love for God. It filled you with a love for God's word. It filled you with a love for God's people. It fills you with a love just for the lost. But what did legalism, or what does legalism do? It fills you with a judgmental, self-righteous attitude that somehow I'm better than somebody else. And therefore you look down upon people, or you separate yourselves because they're not like us, or they somehow don't measure up. And so Paul is really defending the gospel of grace simply by this argument of love. The love of God, the Bible says, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So any person that really depends upon the grace of God to save them is filled with this love. A love for God, a love for God's word, and a love for God's people. So in this fourth chapter, Paul brings it out. Look, if you will, in chapter 4. Look in verse 12, the call of grace. We're going to look at the call of grace and the response of grace. And then we're going to look at the call of legalism and the response of legalism. And Paul is sort of setting out the difference and showing these Galatian believers the great deal of difference between love, the love of God, versus legalism. So in verse 12, he says this, "Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you." First of all, let me stop for a moment. In other words, God's grace enables me to approach a person and do all that I can to adjust my life for them. In other words, how did God save us? I mean, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. God saved us by the very thing that Paul just said. Christ became like us so that we can become like him. He adjusted his life. God's love, for God so loved the world. Love was the motivating factor behind his decision to come and to live life as a human being, to be born in a manger, to grow up as a human being. Christ did that. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. The focus is on his humanity. And Paul is saying here in verse 12, brethren, I urge you to become like me. Why? Because I became like you. I adapted my life and adjusted my life in order to meet you. Now, that doesn't mean he just embraced sin, of course. But he reached out where they were. He tried to meet them on their where they were coming from. He tried to understand them. I use that verse in the book of Jeremiah where Jeremiah said, I sat where they sat. So I'm not talking to you as if somehow I don't understand. We have this amazing high priest, the Bible says in Hebrews, who is in all points tempted like we are, yet with no sin. He became like us. And because he became like us, he can understand us. When we go into his presence, he understands the problems and stress and attitude we go through. Why? That's grace. Grace enables Christ to love us the way we need to be loved. Grace enabled Paul, the effect of this amazing love that Paul had was he adapted his life to meet the Galatian people. Let me just read a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, if you want to turn there. He makes the same statement in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 19, down through verse 23. Here's what he says. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself servant to all, so that I might win some. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, yet not being without law to God, but under law, under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that if by any means I might win some. And then he says, now I do all this for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker with it, with you. What is he saying? In other words, when I went into the synagogue and I went to the Jews, I went as a Jew and I approached them from their perspective. They knew the Old Testament law. They knew the law of Moses. They knew what the Old Testament prophets said. And I began to talk to them about that. When I went to the Greeks, when I went to these people who didn't know the law, I didn't come quoting Old Testament scriptures. I didn't come talk about, you know, the Old Testament laws and Abraham. Why? They were Greeks. I approached them from where they were coming from. To those who were without law, who had absolutely no semblance, who were pagans. I came as a pagan, not that I was involved in sinful things. I wanted to adapt. I wanted to identify. I wanted to understand them. I wanted to do all that I can to relate to them. I wanted them to know that God loves them and cares about them. And so I adapted my life. In other words, God's grace, the way that God's grace works in our lives is we want to understand the other person. We want to do all we can to understand their perspective, where they're coming from, so that we can minister to them. If we come from this attitude of, you know, I can't relate to anything you're doing, and here I'm telling you to do all this, they're not going to understand that. That's why Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. He never sinned, but he reached out to them. Why? Well, the religious leaders wouldn't have anything to do with him. They shunned them and rejected them. So love enabled God's grace. The call of grace is to adapt my life, to adjust my life for the sake of others, to sacrifice myself for other people. That's what grace does. That's what Jesus is. That's what Paul is saying in verse 12. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. Now, when he's saying become like me, he's simply just saying, you know, be filled with the grace of God. Respond to the grace of God. Understand the grace of God, what God's grace does. Grace enables us to try the best we can to relate to other people without sinning, but to come across in some way that they can understand. That's what he's saying there. Look in verses 12 through 14. The response of grace in verse 12, he says this, you have not injured me at all. What is he saying there? Because, you know, they were very upset with Paul. They were very angry at what Paul was doing. Why? Because he was correcting them. He was stepping in and saying, look, you did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? What's happened to you? And they were very angry at Paul. And Paul is saying that they have not injured me at all. You know, what your attitude towards me has not affected me. Doesn't mean I like it. But think about what I'm saying here. What is the response of grace? The response of grace, if I'm living in the grace of God, is whatever you do or whatever you say, I'm not going to be offended by that. It's not affecting me at all. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do, and I'm going to be obedient to the Lord the best I can. That doesn't mean I like your actions, but grace enables us to love people unconditionally. Grace enables me to forgive when people do me wrong, or when people say things wrong to me, or when people sin against me. It's God's grace that enables Paul to say, you've not injured me at all. That's the response of grace. So the way grace responds to other people, the way that grace reacts to other people that may be enemies of the cross or ungodly people. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. When they smite you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. You know? Well, how do you do that? The only way you and I can do that is by the grace of God. God enables us. God supernaturally gives me the ability not to be affected by the ungodly attitudes or sinfulness of other people. Or if they don't do what I think they should or how they should have done it. It enables me to love them the way that God's grace tells me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves and for one another. Why? Love will cover a multitude of sins. You know, there are people who are very easily offended. And they have a hard time getting over things when things don't go their way or when somebody does something they don't agree with. And it's sad. Why? Because it shows they're not living and walking in the grace of God. But love covers a multitude of sins. Love is not easily offended. Love does not vaunt itself. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that chapter, great chapter on love. The love of God, which is really God's grace. How does God enable us to love unlovely people? By the grace of God. And when Paul makes the statement, you've not injured me at all, he's saying, even though, he's going to say later on in our study, even though I have become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth, even though you don't like what I'm saying and you're very angry at me, my attitude towards you is the same. I love you. I care about you. The reason I'm writing these things is because I love you and care about you. You've not injured me at all. Your attitude towards me is not really affecting me. Think about a culture that we live in today that people are absolutely offended by everything. I mean, everything offends them. It's amazing. You know why? They don't love people. It's all about themselves, what they want, what they think, how they view things. Paul just made the statement earlier that I became all things to all men. Paul said, I became like you. I adapted to you. I adjusted to you. That's grace. And grace enables me when you say something to me or do something to me that is sinful or harmful or that I don't care about or like or agree with, grace enables me not to be offended. It enables me just to trust the Lord. I just trust the Lord. That's very important, especially in our culture today. Look in verses 13 and 14. Grace also enables me to receive people just the way they are. Look what it says in verse 13. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. Apparently, Paul had a problem. Some believe he had an eye problem. At the end of our study of Galatians, Paul writes and says, you see how large a letter I write to you. The word large does not mean long. It literally means big. It means some believe that Paul had an eye problem. That somehow Paul was perhaps even disfigured by this. So he makes a statement in verse 14. My trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. And then he makes a statement, look in verse 15. What then was the blessedness you enjoyed? His point that he's making is that, you know, what happened to this? When I came to you and the Holy Spirit began to work in your lives and you received the grace of God and you were transformed by the grace of God, you did not despise me. You didn't look down on me. You didn't reject me because I had this problem. You see what he's saying? The response of grace is that you just accept people the way they are. That doesn't mean you don't want them to be transformed by the knowledge of Christ. Again, compare that to our culture. What does our culture say? If whatever the differences are, you know, whatever, you're always not liked or separated from. The point is, we just need to love people. We need to care about people, and God's grace enables us, no matter what a person is going through, no matter what they believe. It doesn't make a difference what a person believes. God's grace enables us to go and love them and care about them and share about Jesus with them. They need to know Christ. There is consequences of what you believe. But we need to really love people and care about people the way that God does. And that is grace. Grace enables a person to accept another person just the way they are, with all their flaws, with all their warts, with all their whatever it may be. God's grace enables us to love unconditionally. That's what he's saying. Again, what is his argument here? His argument is the argument of love. That you understand how grace affected you, he was saying. When I came there, you didn't despise me. You didn't reject me. I bear you record that if it were possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. I mean, that's grace. In other words, what happened? You know, the response of grace, if you just accept a person where they are, you just love people. Yet legalism judges everybody, rejects everybody, measures everybody else. We'll see that in a second. But my point in all that is the grace of God, just like Christ did. Christ came, and it doesn't make any difference what you've done. It doesn't make any difference where you've been, how much you've sinned. He still loves you and cares about you. He died on the cross for your sins. What he wants you to do and me to do is humble ourselves, come to him, and ask forgiveness. And it doesn't make it a difference. You see, grace opens the door for everybody, whereas legalism is very exclusive. We see that in a second. So we see this amazing change that had happened in the lives of these Galatian believers. Paul is saying, what happened to you? And again, he goes back to chapter 1, where you're turning away from. You're turning away from God's grace, and now you're turning to this legalistic religious work to somehow think you can get to heaven that way. Later on, he says, you've fallen from grace. Christ has become of no effect to you. Whoever you are who are justified by works, you've fallen from grace. And so he understands it. So in other words, the way that a person reacts, the way that a person responds to others says a lot about the grace of God in their heart. It says a lot about whether or not they're walking in the grace of God, understand the grace of God. Let me say this. Jesus enables us to accept everybody, anybody, no matter where they're coming from. But it's God's grace that reaches out to that person and wants them to come to know Christ. And it's God's grace that transforms them to be like Jesus. God's grace gets a hold of us. And all of a sudden we know. This is the whole point that Paul's making. Look, we know as believers we don't deserve to be loved. We know as believers we don't deserve to go to heaven. We know as believers, who are we that we would go to heaven? And the only reason we're going to heaven is by the grace of God, what he's done for us, not what we've done. What we've done, we deserve to go to hell. We deserve to be judged. And so Paul is saying, look at grace. Look what grace does. Understand the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace simply means that we depend upon what God did for us, not what we do for him to get to heaven. We depend upon God's grace to enable us to be like Jesus on this earth, not how hard we try. You know, there are people that try so hard to love people. You know, it's like, you know, I love my enemy, you know, and then they find themselves, you know, the enemy walks and then all of a sudden their heart's pounding and they got all this, you know. It's not about trying hard. It's not about, you know, trying to work your way into this kind of an attitude. It's about letting the Holy Spirit come and just saturate you with grace. God gives grace to who? To the humble. What does that mean? It means you go to God and say, I can't love this person. I can't forgive this person. I need grace. I need you to help me. And when you humble yourself before God and tell him that, and you're honest, God gives us supernatural grace. God pours out his grace upon our hearts in our lives and enables us. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves loving a person that we didn't love Why? It's by the grace of God. It's not because I'm trying hard. It's because I'm trusting that God is enabling me. God is empowering me. The Holy Spirit is working in my life and giving me this love that I don't have naturally. So I don't try to work this love up. I just receive this love. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I just let the Holy Spirit love people through me. I let the grace of God come. When somebody says something, does something that I'm easily offended, I'm all hurt or I'm all upset, I let the grace of God come. And it's like, it's no big deal. I'm in God's hands. I trust the Lord. That's grace. That's a response of grace. To receive others just as they are. That's what Jesus did. Now look also in verses 15 and 16. The call of legalism in verse 15, what then? What then was the blessedness you enjoyed? For I bear witness, in verse 15 again, that if were possible you would have plucked out your own eyes, given to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you to the truth? In other words, here's what legalism does. The call of legalism is to reject others who are different. To reject others who are different than I am. Now think about what Paul said in the first verse. Paul said, I became like you. The call of grace is to adapt your life for that other person. But the call of legalism is, you don't meet my standards, you've got to adapt your life to me. And so the call of legalism is to reject others. It's to have an attitude towards others. It's to judge others. It's to look down upon others. And Paul is saying that to them, that you're judging me. You're looking down upon me. That's what he's saying. Again, in verse 16, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So the call of legalism is to reject others. And then, of course, to develop a judgmental attitude. To judge others by what? By whatever standard you think need, you know, you people have these standards. Or look, I read my Bible more. You're reading your Bible once a year. Well, you know, I read it twice. Like somehow you're better than that other person. Or you read it, you know, two chapters, I read three, you know, and you're judging other people. People begin to measure other people by how religious they are or whatever it may be. Or you don't dress the way I dress. And because you don't dress the way I dress, you're not accepted. So we have this critical attitude. That's not grace. Grace accepts the person wherever they're coming from. Grace loves the person and realizes that God loves them. The Holy Spirit enables us to love the unlovely and to accept a person just where they are. But legalism causes an individual to have an attitude towards the people, to judge others by whatever standard or my rules or my regulations, whatever it is I'm doing that. You develop this attitude against them and towards them. That's what Paul's saying in verses 15 and 16. Look what he says again in verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? In other words, why am I becoming your enemy? Paul says, I'm becoming your enemy because I'm just doing what God wants me to do. And I believe what I'm doing is what God wants me to do. And all of a sudden, you have this attitude towards me and you're angry at me and you're upset with me or you're hurt with me. And I've become your enemy. And all I'm doing is telling you the truth. You see what he's saying? He's showing how the love of God affects a person. The grace of God gives them love. It's the argument of love. And love is a direct response of God's divine grace. God gives us the divine ability to love the unlovely and to forgive those that trespass against us. We say that in our prayer. Lord, forgive us our trespasses. How? As we forgive those who trespass against us. So God enables us to forgive. God enables us to, you know, not hold grudges. God enables us that love covers a multitude of sins. That's grace. And it's the argument of love. However, legalism judges others. Legalism has a critical attitude towards, well, let's see, we'll just see how they do or what they're doing or if they're doing the jumping through the right hoops. That's what legalism does. That's what sometimes religious actions. Well, you're not as religious as I am. And it's a negative judgmental attitude. It's a self-righteousness. Our righteousness that we have as Christians is a gift from Christ. It's not our own. We're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. So who are we to boast? You know, we are sinners, saved by the grace of God. And we have this perfect righteousness, not because we lived a perfect life. Not because we deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell, period. how do you say you don't? And yet here we are going to heaven. We're going to heaven because of what Jesus did for me. And I'm relying upon his divine grace that he's provided for me in Christ. This amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And then look in verses 17 and 18. So the practical response of grace, look in verse 17. They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you. The point he's making there is that the practical application of legalism is you actually separate from others. Legalism divides, it separates. Well, you're not like me, so I'm not going to talk to you. You're not like me, therefore I'm going to say. So legalism, and because it has this attitude towards others, it judges others and stays away from them. Think about that statement versus what Paul did. I became like you. Or what Jesus did. Jesus adapted his life, gave up his place in heaven, gave up, you know, who he was, came down and lived as we do. So that he could relate to us, so that he could be a faithful high priest, so that he could be tempted in all points like we are, yet with no sin. So that he could be a high priest. Why? Because the high priest represented us before God. That's the responsibility of the high priest was to represent us, and Christ is our representative. He's our substitute. He understands me. He adapted his life. But legalism, basically, if God said, you know, in order to get to heaven, you've got to be as perfect as I am. In order to get to heaven, you can never sin, period. And if you ever sin, boom, you're done. And he would never have provided a way for you and I to be saved. But it's grace that enabled God, caused God, motivated by the love of God, to make a way for you and I to reach heaven. It's an amazing truth. Legalism separates. And then look also in verse 17, the end of this passage. He says in verse 17, they zealously court you, but for no good. These false teachers zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you or separate you, that you may be zealous for them. It is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not when I am present with you always. In other words, the goal of legalism is not to make you like Jesus, but to make you like them. Does that make sense? In other words, when you have this standard, the goal is to make everybody just like me. And if you don't measure up to my standard, then you got a problem. Because after all, look who I am. You know that's legalism. It's have this high and mighty attitude. Look how great I am, and you're not measuring up. And since you're not measuring up, my goal is to make you like me. But the call of grace is to do all that I can to become like you in order that you might meet Jesus. My goal is that you may know Christ, not me. I could care less whether you like me or not. I want you to know Jesus and love Jesus. That's what I want. And grace enables us to do that. Our whole goal as Christians is to bring Christ into the lives of people. The whole focus of our fellowship is we want people to know Christ. Well, how do we do that? By the grace of God. God needs to give us grace, enabling us to adapt our lives, to adjust our lives, to come across in a way that lets them know how much God loves them, how much God cares about them, that there is a way for them to be forgiven of all their sins. And that's by the blood of Christ. That's by Jesus himself. Our goal is not to win disciples to ourselves. Our goal is to win disciples for Jesus. Whereas legalism wants the goal to be, I want you to be like me. I want you to see it from my perspective. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. That's legalism. And if you don't understand that, if you're not like me, then I separate from you. I divide myself from you. It's not the love of God. It's a legalistic attitude. And Paul could tell us what was happening. This distance. Something had happened to these believers. They had loved him and cared about him and would do anything for him. And all of a sudden, they have become his enemy. Have I become your enemy? Because I'll tell you the truth, where's the love of God that you used to have? What happened to you? You did run well, Paul said. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion does not come from him that calls you. I mean, God's not doing this. Something else. There's other people coming. He saw the effect of false teachers. He saw the effect of an individual walking not in the grace of God, but in legalistic religious things. We don't need religion. We need Jesus. We need a personal relationship. Please understand, God adapts and adjusts to every individual wherever they are. Somehow or another, he knows how to connect. He connected with me. He connected with you. And you weren't in the same place I was. Somehow or another, by the grace of God, he spoke to me. And he spoke to me in a way that I could understand. He opened my eyes up, opened my heart up, opened my ears up. And all of a sudden I realized I'm a sinner on the way to hell. And it was by the grace of God I understood as a non-believer, I need Jesus. I need Christ. That's grace. I didn't do that. It wasn't because of intellect or study or somehow whatever. It was because of God's divine grace. God began to do something in me and to me that I didn't deserve. And it was really contrary to even my heart. My heart was deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? And yet God began to work. He called me. I love him. Why? Because he first loved me. He began to pursue me before I began to pursue him. That's grace. Grace is God adapting to me. God doing something and changing in some ways, just coming, approaching me in a way that I could understand. And all of a sudden I'm realizing, wow, you know something? I need Jesus. And if I die in this condition, I'm going straight to hell. And hell is real. There are consequences for the decisions a person makes. That's Paul's whole point. He makes a statement in chapter 1. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than what I've preached to you, let him be accursed. Or let him be damned to hell is what he means by that. That's what the word accursed means. Cut off from Christ forever. And that's the ultimate result of anyone who doesn't come and trust in the grace of God, in the person of Jesus. So you and I need to be filled with the grace of God. We need to understand grace. Grace is not what we do for him. Grace is what God does for us. And we receive God's grace by humbling ourselves, by being honest with him and saying, Lord, I can't, but you can. Another way to say that is this. God's never going to command us to do anything that he won't give us the grace to do. So when he tells us to love our enemies, he means it. When he tells us to pray for those who despitefully use us, he means it. Well, how do we do that? By the grace of God. We can't do it just by trying to, I'm going to love that person if it kills me. Well, it will kill you. We love that person by just receiving the grace of God and the Holy Spirit and recognizing, Lord, you love me. You love me the way I was. You loved me before I even knew who you were. When I was running from you and hated you and despised you, you still loved me. Who am I not to love whatever, that person, wherever it may be? Or who am I not to forgive because I don't agree with that or whatever it may be, or I'm hurt or I'm offended? Who am I when you've forgiven me of all these things? And God gives us grace. God gives us his Spirit. Let's pray. Leah, can the worst team please come up? Lord, this morning as we close, we thank you for your grace. The story of the manger, the story of Christ coming, the story of the cross is the grace of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's the grace of God. That's God doing something for us and to us that we cannot do in and of ourselves. Whereas legalism, or as Paul's arguing, the law, these religious works, never provide what Christ provided. I pray this morning for anybody who's relying upon religion, who's relying upon what they do, who believes somehow that they're worthy of going to heaven, or somehow they've earned their way to heaven, or they somehow they do all these things, and somehow God's going to have to let them in there. I pray that they would understand that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible is very clear. The only way we get to heaven is by the grace of God. That you forgiving us of all of our sins, not because of what we do for you, but because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross when he died for us and shed his blood. Lord, fill us with the grace of God. Even this morning, there are some who are having a hard time forgiving. Those who have sinned or those who have done wrong or whatever it may be. And their hearts are hard. And they need to receive the grace of God. They need to allow the Holy Spirit to fill them with the grace of God and the love of God. And as much as they try, as much as they may want to do the right thing, they can't. But the Bible says it's you who makes us not only to will, but to do of your good pleasure. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You work in us, and you provide for us what we need to follow you, what we need to serve you, what we need to be the way you want us to be. That's grace. But it's also grace that enabled Paul, that enables us to adapt and to adjust to other people. We're always asking others to adapt to us, to understand us, to see our perspective or to whatever. Help us to see that it's grace that enables us to get into the other person's shoes. To do the best we can, as Paul said, to the Jew I became a Jew, to the Greek I became a Greek, to the pagans I became as a pagan. I did the best I can to become all things to all men, if by any means I might win some. I want them to know Jesus. And I can't come across as some religious person who knows everything. I've just got to come across as someone who really cares about that individual and desperately wants him to come to know the God that I know. And I just pray you'd help us to adapt our lives, and this enables us to adapt and to adjust to the other person. Legalism demands the other person adapts to me. The grace of God enables us not to judge others, but to desire that others come to know Christ. It's legalism that judges others, that by some outward standard or by some measurement that is just whatever it may be. No, Lord. We just base what we believe on your word. And I thank you for that. So may you be glorified. I pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't know Christ. Lord, draw them in this Christmas season. Bring them face to face, not with a babe in a manger, but the risen Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who's coming soon. We continue to pray for Israel. We continue to pray for the conflict in the Middle East. We continue to pray for our government. Please, God, have mercy. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name.